Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Na 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 na. We gotta change it, girl. Just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl. Just you and me. Need a little help, y'all. Yes, I do. Need a little help. Say it, boy.
Need some help, y'all.
Change the world. What it used to be.
Can't do it alone.
Can't do it alone.
Need some help, yeah.
Need some help, yeah.
Tell me now.
Wonder what you tell me now.
Stop fire.
color. Everybody, we need each other. Wake up, everybody. Well, see, we need, wake up, everybody. We
come
need,
on, wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. No more backward thinking, time for thinking ahead. Wake up all your teachers, start to teach a new way. They're the ones that suffer each and every day. Teach the children,
teach the baby,
teach the babies.
Teach the children,
teach the children,
teach the babies.
Teach the children,
teach the babies. They're the one who's coming out.
Amen, amen, amen. To God be the glory for this awesome and wonderful evening. We thank God that we're about to finish up yet another month, the month of March 2021. This month went by so fast, just as January and February have. But we do welcome in April of 2021. Thank God for, as we begin to enter into that wonderful time of the season called spring. And we just thank God that we're able just to continue to spring forward and do the things that he has called us to do for such a time as this. My name is Tammy Storr. We'll be joined by my lovely husband, Minister Jesse Storr, and thanking God always for his ministry gifts and that he's always willing to share with everyone that he comes in contact with. And that includes you tonight. If you made your way to the Blog Talk Radio Show, that means you are in contact with us, and we thank God for you and your presence. We thank God that he will forever give you the opportunity to have the desires of your heart met. And tonight is one of those opportunities where you desire to be here. He freed up your schedule and allowed you the privilege to be amongst all of us and to be able, hopefully, for those of you that desire to share, we ask that you simply press star or press one on your phones, and you will be placed in the host queue, and then at the appropriate time, Minister Jesse will be able to open up your mic. As always, we thank God for you. We thank God for him being here and always being in the midst in everything we say, do, and touch, and it's no different. We always want to just give God the glory, honor, and praise that he so rightfully deserves as we think about and enter into this wonderful week, as we enter into the resurrection week, and we thank God that we will forever be grateful and thankful for all that Jesus Christ did for each and every one of us. And above all, thank God for allowing his only begotten son to go to the cross for each and every one of us. So let us always be mindful that it's not by coincidence or accident that God has you still yet here on this earth, because your work is not done yet. He still needs you to do work in the kingdom, in the vineyard for him. As always, we usher in the Holy Spirit. Before we do anything, we need the Holy Spirit to take over our mouthpiece and be the lead and the guide in everything we say, do, and touch on this evening. Most gracious and most heavenly Father, I want to first say thank you for your presence tonight. Thank you for allowing us the opportunity to go before your throne. Thank you tonight, Lord God, for these powerful, strong, God-fearing men and women who have made their way to the Blog Talk Radio Show. We come asking, Lord God, that you continue to order our steps and give us the ability to go forward in the name of Jesus, knowing that there's greatness in each and every one of us. And there's things that you desire for us to do, Lord God. There's opportunities after opportunity, if only we desire, Father God, to make a difference in our lives and all that we do, not only in our marriages, but throughout, Lord God, our lives in the workplace and with the relationships that you bring us together with, Lord God, wherever they may be. And I just pray tonight, Lord God, that we'll be the best us that we can be. And I pray that anytime we miss the mark, that you give us an opportunity to make the corrections. Give us an opportunity to pray and ask for forgiveness. And allow us, Lord God, anybody that we've brought ought to be able to go to them in the name of Jesus and be able to declare and decree, Lord God, a word over their lives and our lives. And be able to know, Lord God, that if we utilize that word called forgiveness more and more every day, that we will be better individuals. Tonight, Lord God, I thank you for allowing us to understand and know what repetition is, Lord God. And as we speak about it, Lord God, that we understand and know that repetition when spaced leads to oneness. There's, Father God, always a given time and place for everything we say, do, and touch here on this earth. And I just pray tonight as we dissect this word and understand this word better and better by and by, that you would allow, Father God, each and every one of us that desire to be able to walk in oneness, we have that ability. And I pray for those that are not yet married, Lord God, but you, Father God, have perfect soulmates already set aside for them. I just thank you at the appropriate time you allow them to walk down that aisle and have, Father God, the ability to exchange vows and be able to be married in holy matrimony and live life happily ever after, Lord God. And how many of us know, Lord God, that it's because of you, your grace and mercy, that allows us to have that as a part of our life. And I just want to say thank you, Lord God, that you will continue to order each and every one of our steps. Give us the ability to be the best spouse on this side of heaven or spouse to be. Thank you, as always, for allowing us to come tonight to be able to learn and study, Father God, to be able to apply this word to our lives. Thank you right now in the mighty name of Jesus for pouring back into my lovely husband, Minister Jesse, every single thing that he pours into us. Bless him 1,000-fold. Everything he touches his hands to, let it be blessed by you, Lord God. In the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you as always, Lord God, for allowing each and every one of us, Father God, to understand and know, Father God, that there are so many things that you still yet have in store for each and every one of us. Let us have a willing heart to go forward and accomplish those great things. Thank you as always, Lord God, for being with us tonight. Be with the powerful, strong, God-fearing men and women as they will come forward and share through transparency once again by pressing 1 on their phone and sharing, Lord God, so others can be blessed by it. In Jesus' mighty name I pray, amen, amen, and amen.
Amen. One more time, let all of us say amen in agreement, and good evening on this last Monday of the first quarter in the year 2021. As my queen indicated, it has come and gone quite rapidly. When we think of this subject matter tonight, repetition, when spaced or space repetition leads to oneness. And oneness, as we've said many times, is that reality of when a man and a woman come together as God ordained and become one flesh. And you see, during the course of our lives, we embrace the concept of space repetition to assist us in our will to survive and hopefully to strive. The concept of repetition is intertwined with the very concept of faith itself. Remember when God told Joshua, he said, look, at the end of the day, if you read this book and observe to do everything that's written therein day and night, you will have both success and prosperity. That's the only verse that I've read in the Bible that contains success and prosperity in the same verse. And it mentions the concept of space repetition. If you would read and observe to do all that's written therein, day and night. Well, that's the concept of space repetition. And see, when we look at that scripture in Joshua 1:8, if you want to go look it up, it reinforces the concept of faith. Because according to scripture, it's the belief in evidence we may not currently see with the validation of human vision. And so God said, trust me. Just read it and do it both day and night, and you have success and prosperity. And see, sometimes we have to open up our minds and stretch our thought process a little bit to get the fullness of what God attempts to share with us all the time. Our faith, then, is developed consistent with the evidence we experience in our daily existence. That means sometimes we get to the point to where we don't realize and recognize that we act in faith when, in fact, the very thing that we do may not have anything to do with faith itself. For example, when we wake up in the morning There might be one or three, maybe even more reasons, but we'll just leave it at three for the sake of this illustration. We may wake up with our own biological clock. That some of us have programmed ourselves so much that regardless of what time we may lay down, it seems as though our own biological clock will wake us up. Now, we may choose to lay back down and go to sleep again, but for whatever reason, we seem to wake up. The second one may be some form of artificial awakening, such as an alarm in our room that we may use to make sure that if our biological clock fails us for whatever reason, we have that backup. And then, of course, the third may be a combination of the two, to where we may wake up or we may have an alarm clock, and the second time around we may wake up on our own. But whatever it may be, over the process of time, we develop faith in that process. And it's another illustration of the concept of space repetition. But in marriage, how do we define repetition? How is something like that even defined? Well, in marriage, you know, we see it as the positive repeating and reinforcement of actions designed to edify, to build up, and to create the mutual confidence necessary to have a successful marriage. I mean, that seems like it's pretty plain, but we all know that marriage is a very complicated proposition. It's the dichotomy of marriage is it gives you all of the pleasures that God ordained from the beginning, yet it's filled with all of the challenges any of us would ever want to deal with. So we think in times then and of marriage and what other synonyms or what kind of situations might be involved when we think about space repetition. How about repeating something? To where we may say, instead of saying, well, I told you that we just repeat it and don't worry about it. Well, we may restate something. I love you. I appreciate you. I adore you. You do this to me. Whatever it may be, we repeat it. Or maybe we retell the situation of how we first got together, when we first met. What were the words that we shared? So we may retell that story in an effort to make sure we remind ourselves of that first time. We may recapitulate, thinking about all of the good things that took place, and even recite verbatim sometimes all of the things that one or both may have said to each other. Still fulfilling all of that space repetition, showing ourselves in memory of what brought us together in the first place. Rehearsing in our spirit when we discovered that there was a spiritual connection. Yeah, I know sometimes it may have been physical initially, but over the process of time, hopefully you got into that spiritual connection. You may want to recap constantly, reminding yourself and each other of why and how you came together, how God allowed your paths to cross, where you were quoting from the very first time you said to your spouse, I love you, or I adore you, I miss you, I need you, you complete me. Whatever it may be. And see, most of all, we need to repeat this to ourselves each day and all day, and how much we love and appreciate our spouse. Now, I know some might say, why would you have to do that? Why is such a process necessary? Well, I ask you, do you live in the real world? Now, we live in a world where God has already told us that the imagination of our heart is on evil continuously. That means all the time. So if evil is on our heart continuously, if the devil is bombarding our brains and our minds with evil thoughts continuously, and we all know how it is, that when you have whatever kind of small disagreement it may be, he wants to blow it up into something a lot larger than we ever could imagine. And so in marriage, we are given the opportunity to develop a level of faith in our marriage partner that can be aligned and promoted to achieve some form of oneness. Now we say some form of oneness simply because of the necessity for spouses to activate and to promote the activities specifically designed to promote oneness. So somebody again may ask the question, what is the key to achieving oneness with the repetition, the space repetition strategy that God himself gave us? And why is repetition so important in the success of oneness? I'm glad you asked that question. In the world, we already said, we are faced every day with a level of spiritual wickedness that begins in high places. And it, as Scripture will tell us, will blind the minds of those that believe not, those that do not think, feel, or believe that there is a spiritual warfare going on all the time. Why would God tell us to study his word both day and night and observe to do everything that was written therein? That if we wanted to have success and prosperity, if we can believe that about our jobs, if we can believe that about whatever organization we may be attached to or belong to, if we can give those organizations and those realities that kind of respect, why do we then undermine and cut short its value in the most critical and the most challenging and the deepest relationship you will ever have as a human being? See, we believe that our success with oneness is dependent on achieving sustained execution of a repetition plan that is designed to optimize the concept of love, doing both the good and the bad times that will be associated with marriage. Did you hear what I said? It's based on the good and the bad times. It's not just based on when everything is going good, when everything is going well. No, it's based on the whole time. And I believe that's why God said to us to observe this day and night, and whatever it instructs us to do, that we implement. And that if we want to have success and prosperity, he didn't say just when you're at work. He didn't say just when you're hanging out with your friends. He didn't say just when you're hanging out with your family. He said, all things. We know statistically, as we look around the world, some might challenge whether or not we see any level of divine evidence that we as human beings have been able to achieve that. Because more often than not, when we hear things about each other, when we hear things about couples or those that are married, most of the time we hear the negative. We don't hear the positive. We don't hear about the beautiful children. We don't hear about the beautiful time spent together, we don't hear about the beautiful edification or the beautiful encouragement or admonition. We don't hear about those things. But see, those are the things we need to begin to think about. And so we're going to share some examples, basic, fundamental examples of things that we can do to follow what God said to Joshua. If you remember the story, Joshua was about to take over and be the new leader. Moses had went on to be in transition, lived to be 120 years old, and the word said his sight was still great. But it was time for him to be called home, and so there was a little bit of apprehension and also probably a little fear. And God told him to be courageous as well. And we know this story. But on the mundane sense of how we do things, there are some fundamental examples we can begin to put in place to make sure we increase the probability of having success in marriage using this, what God made available to us. So I'm going to share with Tammy, ask Tammy to come and share what God placed on her heart in this area. Of what examples can all of us who are married and those who desire to be married, what can we use to follow this principle of space repetition? Come on, Queen.
Amen, Jesse. Powerful, powerful, powerful. You know, repetition, and when we look at oneness and we think about everything we need to do, it is so crucial. It is so important. Anything that we do and we repeat and it becomes repetition, we become then the expert. Who wouldn't want to be an expert in their marriage? Because when you become an expert, you know a little bit something about it. And so when you become that expert that God has created within you, you can't help but share in a mighty way. So I'm grateful and I'm thankful tonight as I think about some examples. One of the examples would be, you know, edifying, Jesse, just using words of edification. And when we think of edification, it's defined in its spiritual realm as moral or intellectual improvement, the act of edifying or the state of being edified, a building up, especially in a moral, emotional, or spiritual sense. It just does my heart good when I think about this word edification and I think about moral and intellectual and I think about all the spiritual and improvement that we will get through the engagement and instruction of this wonderful word. Sometimes we don't use this word enough. Some of us probably haven't even spoken this word in years, let alone weeks or days. These are words that help make a difference in everything we do. But we have to understand why we do what we do it in order to do it. Edifying one another is so key. And think about it. The more we edify and we're building each other up, the less we have issues of tearing each other down and arguing and disagreeing. When I think about Ephesians 4:29, Jesse says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. It is so powerful to get Ephesians 4:29 in our hearts and in our spirits. When we allow our mouths to be so helpful to benefit everybody that's around us to hear it. I mean, there's nothing greater, Jesse, than when you've got couples together and they're loving on each other and they're saying to one another how much they love each other, how they're edifying one another. Oh, baby, you look so good. Oh, baby, thank you for cooking that awesome meal tonight. Thank you for allowing me to lay in your arms. And I know sometimes you may not have been so comfortable with me there, but I felt so secure and I felt so wanted and I felt so loving during that time. You know, sometimes when we go through edification, It's because we know someone has done something that causes us to appreciate them even more. So I pray that we get that word called edifying or edification in our hearts, because one of the things, Jesse, that it does, it gives us the ability to build up, not tear down. It allows us to establish what we want, not only from our spouse, but what we want to dish out. You know, our favorite motto is do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And so it's so important that we understand and know that we can't expect our spouse to say to us when we walk in a room, baby, you look nice today, or baby, I see you're losing weight, or baby, I love the way your hair looks today, or whatever those wonderful edifying words may be that flow out of your mouth, let them flow. I'd rather you say that any day than say, baby, you're fat, you need to lose weight. But baby, when you're going to the hairdresser, your hair looks really bad. Well, God forbid you say, well, baby, I don't want to lay next to you because there's an odor that comes out of you. So I try to stay on my side of bed. So we can even hear it as I say it, that those kind of words will tear you down versus building you up. We need words that are going to strengthen our relationship. We need words from our mouth that's going to encourage us, even in the times when we're apart, that we're still thinking those wonderful words that we want to share with our spouse. And how many of you know that through this social media, there's a lot of things that we can do? And I encourage you, in this area of edifying, edification, send some nice, kind words to through a text. Send some nice, kind words through an email. Inbox your spouse on Facebook. Inbox your spouse on Instagram. You're inboxing everybody else. Why not inbox some words of encouragement? You know, I live my life, part of my life, I will say, in encouraging others. I find some of the most encouraging things that I can find out there in the atmosphere. And when I see something that just pierces my heart and helps me, if I know it moves me in a special way, how many of you know that it's going to move somebody else? So you will find, if you're a part of that inner circle of Tammy Johnson's store, you're going to find yourself every now and then getting some words of encouragement, because it does me so well to be able to encourage and edify and just strengthen somebody else, because you never know when someone's on their down and they're on their low point. You never know until you're willing to be obedient and the Holy Spirit says, send out an encouraging word for somebody, because somebody needs to receive it today. Everybody may not be going through what another individual may be going through. So when I send it out in a group, it may not be for you that day, but hold on, because we know that trouble don't last always, but trouble does come. It tells us in the word. And sometimes when you're going through a rough period in your life, you need someone to encourage you to keeping on. You need someone to tell you it's going to be all right. Continue to stay encouraged. Continue to be loved. Continue to understand and know that God's got some wonderful and great things in store for you. You need to know and understand that because of God's grace and mercy, that there is going to be opportunities when someone can send you out a note in the morning that says, this is your Monday morning reminder that you are amazing and you can handle anything. You got to understand that God has not just equipped me to understand the importance of encouraging others, especially your spouse, but to encourage others around you. Because how many of you know once we're talking about it, let's continue to speak on it. Repetition. Repetition could be in a form of doing what you need to do in terms of encouraging your spouse by encouraging others. It gets in your spirit and in your heart, and it allows you that opportunity to be able to have it in the forefront of everything you do. So when you walk in your house after you worked a long day, and you enter in and you find yourself in the presence of your spouse, and one or the other may say some wonderful encouraging words even before you honor one another with a kiss to let each other know you miss one another, or a hug, whatever it is that you desire to do to show your affection one to another. And when I think about edifying, Jesse, and I think about edification, I think about 1 Thessalonians 5:11. It says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. It's what God is telling us to do. When we think of edify, and during my studies, it's not something I came up with, when during my studies, and I do a lot of research online and get a lot of word that I can encourage you with. And it had something that we love doing on the woman's prayer line. We love to take a word, and we love to put it, you know, with some other words. And we love to be able to say, okay, we're going to put this together and make it mean something. So edify, E, is for encouragement. Be kind and gentle to one another, especially your spouse. D, delight. Delight in one another. Just get so excited and get a little geeky when you can every now and then of how excited you're going to be when the end of the day comes and you're able to go and be in that wonderful bedroom that's undefiled, that you're able just to hold each other and have some wonderful conversations. You're just being delightful and being delight and just delighting in each other. Then I is for involved. Get in that thing called involvement of oneness. Get into it so much that you don't want it to ever end. God made sexual relations a great thing. And we can incorporate it in every single thing we speak about and do because it's a part of our daily lives. And so when you think about involved, it says active listening and talking and doing whatever it is that you are doing, and you're allowing yourself to be involved. Then you think about F, fulfill. Help each other to reach the greatest potential. Because we all know that God has created greatness in all of us. Every now and then, we need someone to encourage us, to tell us that you're amazing, that it's going to be a great day, that you can do all things through Christ Jesus that strengthens you. And then last but not least, Y is for yield. Live in a yielded, forgiving state. If we just lived in that little bit of space, this world will be a much better place. And I don't mean in a forgiving space when you allow yourself an opportunity to be able to be upset for a period of time. You don't deserve that. You deserve what God said. And he said to forgive. And if he didn't mean to forgive almost immediately, he wouldn't have said forgive 7 times 70. And again, we don't know exactly what 7 times 70, if it's in a day, if it's in a week, if it's in a year, but it's a lot. So forgive so that you can move on. Because if you move on, you might have an opportunity to forgive again. Because something else may come up that may cause you to forgive. And then when I think about Jesse, another example, pray without ceasing. We all know that out of 1 Thessalonians 5:17. And sometimes we think about pray without ceasing. Well, goodness, I won't be able to do nothing all day if that's all I'm doing is praying. Well, it literally doesn't mean, you know, that you just pray nonstop. But actually what it does mean is constantly reoccurring in some form of prayer. And it doesn't mean that you have to be with your spouse or someone that you need to pray for. You could do a silent prayer throughout the day, all day, as much as you want. Those silent prayers are powerful. Those silent prayers mean you're thinking about somebody else other than yourself. And when I think about 1 Thessalonians 5:18, as we move on down into this chapter, Jesse, it says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So if we're giving thanks, and if we're praying for our spouse, and we're edifying our spouse, we're positioning ourselves to in a great and an exceptional area. And then when I think about it, Jesse, and as I move on down to my third example, it's one that I have to work on. It's one that, you know, sometimes we do studies and we do it, you know, sometimes God, yeah, you can be funny at times. And sometimes when I look at some of the things I do and I study and I, you know, come on here and I speak about, I think I'd be honest with myself, my toes get stepped on. So when the Holy Spirit gives it to us, we've got to give it to everybody else, whether my toe is being stepped on or not. But the next one is ask assertive questions versus tell assertiveness. Now, I don't desire to be that way. Sometimes I still think and believe that we're born into, not so much born that way, but when we're around someone that's that way, we have a tendency to pick up someone's habits, whether they're good or bad or indifferent. I don't know. But I know I picked up those habits from somebody that I love so dearly, and that's my mother. And I have that habit, and I know I have another sister that has that habit, and I know some of you have that as a situation that we got to continue to be a work in progress and continue to ask God to help us. Instead, we got to do a little bit more asking nicely. We got to seek it out a little better and knock. And knock a little more gentle. Sometimes we're aggressive with that knock. Sometimes we knock so hard that it just scares us. It almost scares us out of our skin. Think about when somebody comes up to your door and they knock kind of gently and you hear somebody knocking. Perfect example, we got some people working on our home and they were outside doing some stuff on our deck today, and I was in the kitchen and I was getting something to eat at lunch, and Jesse said, was that a knock on the door? And I said, no, you're hearing things. They're out there working. So something told me, go look and see if that was a knock, because we had the blinds closed because Jesse just doesn't like our blinds open when the sun's out because he thinks it gets too hot. And I'm the opposite. I open the blinds first thing in the morning. He comes and he closes them before, you know, I could come back upstairs even for lunch. They're all closed. But anyway, so I said, well, let me just go make sure, because I know they're out there working. And Jesse thought it was a knock. So why? It just took me a few seconds to go open the door. And I'm already standing up. So I go and I open the door. And sure enough, Keith was out there. And he kind of scared me because I wasn't expecting him to be there. So when I opened the door, I was kind of expecting to see him working out there. And he was like my face almost hit his face, that he was just right there. I said, oh, I'm sorry. I said, Jesse thought somebody knocked, but I didn't, because it wasn't a loud knock. Now, on the other hand, think about it. Somebody come to your door and they knock so hard, it's like they're in a panic. The first thing you're doing is you're panicking. You're freaking. You're like running to the door like, what is going on? So there's a way, a right and a wrong way to do everything. And when I think about this ask, seek, and knock, we're all familiar with the scripture in Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8. It says, ask and it will be given to you. It's about how you ask, though. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be open for you. For anyone who asks receives, the one who seeks will find, and to the one who knocks, the door will be open. So I just ask you, how nicely are you asking? How diligently are you really seeking to find? And are you knocking with a purpose? Are you knocking gently? Are you knocking where someone is wanting to open the door without any hesitation? I hope you are. And if you're not, there's still room to change. The real question is, are we willing to change? Because all of us have room for growth. And we have to just kind of ask ourselves, are we willing to go through that change? And then, Jesse, when I come down to my last point, I come down to encouraging the sharing of information. There's so many couples that God strategically put together that you are so powerful if you're willing to share information one to another. If you're willing to encourage through even constructive criticism on things that you need to communicate about and go about doing it the right way. Encouraging the sharing of information is so critical. It's so key, because if I can't share through transparency with my husband, who can I share with transparency to? There should be nothing that's off limits that I should not be able to share to make my husband a better person. And I know so often when we're leaving to go somewhere, I have a tendency, because I think it's my responsibility, to look at my husband before we walk out. And I'll look at Jesse and I'll say to him, Jesse, no, baby, come here, just for baby, please. And I beg him sometimes, just let me redo your hair, because Jesse's got some nice hair. He always says, what's nice hair? Well, if you ever see Jesse's hair, you know he's got nice hair. And so I don't want him to cut it because he's got nice hair. He's starting to lose it in certain areas, but God bless him, because I still don't want him to cut even what little bit he has. So sometimes I got to move it around a little bit to cover up other areas, and I'll be like, Jesse, come here, baby. Just let me do it, because I can do it right, baby. I know how to do your hair, and it looks good. And then there are times when he gets it just right, and I'm like, whoa, baby, you hit that one today. Your hair looks so good. You did that thing. And then there's other times I'm like, no, baby. You did it a little too quick. You got to do your hair a certain way, and that's just not it today. Let me do it for you. Let me make you look good. His eyebrows, if they get out of whack, they get too wild, come here, baby, I need to cut your eyebrows, and I promise I won't cut you. I promise I'll take my time, and I'll do it right. But that's me making sure I'm sharing and doing the things I need to do for him. So I'm going to move on with this, but one of the things in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, it tells us, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. We got to make that our everyday thing, is to build one another up and know there's certain things that God desires and wants for us to do, and that is one, for us to take the time to study, to learn, to dissect 1 Thessalonians 5:11. And then in my studies, Jesse, I'm going to go through this real quick, but in my studies, one of the things that I learned as I was looking and I was saying, what would I like to share? What are things am I getting out of this as I'm studying? And you know, there's so much information. I probably have so many, probably about 3 pages in this little bit that I'm sharing with you, and I can only go through a little bit because I only got so much time. So when I think about 5 ways to communicate better within my spouse or for my spouse, one, the first thing is to ask open-ended questions. This allows the communication to go much better. It allows your spouse to talk more. And communication is not just about talking about each other's days and saying what you had to eat for lunch. Let's dig deep into it. Let's ask some hard questions. Ask the open-ended questions that you want to know about your spouse. Second, pick up on nonverbal cues. You know what they are. You know what your spouse needs. He might give you a look, and you know what that look is. Just get up. Don't be lazy. Go over and give him a kiss. He might look at you like, baby, you're looking good today. Go over and give him a hug just to say, just because of the nonverbal communication, I know what you meant by that look, and just go give them a hug. Thirdly, it says, don't try to read their mind. If you are not certain, ask the question. Fourth, conversations are a two-way street. Don't try to be the one that's doing all the talking and not allowing your spouse to talk. You'll be impressed. You'll be surprised how much you can learn when you understand it's a two-way street that you're both speaking. And then, five, it says set aside time to talk, and that's where most of us lack. We don't set aside enough time to really speak, and we have to learn to do that more and more and better each and every day. Jesse, may God bless you. I love this topic today. I could have went on and on and on. So much more I could have said, but I know for sake of time, I want you to make sure that you do have time to just bring it all back together, do our close, do the summary, and pray us out. May God bless you, and may He bless everyone of our listening audience, because I tell you what, you are all so special, so important to us, and we thank God for all of your marriages and thank God for the marriages to be. God bless you, and continue to believe and trust in God to allow you to use repetition when space, you know, it will lead to oneness. And if you experience oneness, you'll be surprised how wonderful it is. God bless you.
Praise God. He truly is worthy to be praised. You've heard a powerful prophetic utterance tonight. It's amazing how God can get in the midst of whatever subject matter He desires to do so. We've been doing this Monday night since 2009 as far as the blog talk. And there are many subjects that any of you can go and pull down. And that's every Monday night. It's a matter there of the ministry of space repetition. And it's God's own design. He designed us this way. And as it relates to marriage, I like to simply summarize and close up tonight's subject with a reminder that you need to restate your reasons for marrying your spouse to yourself. You need to continue to remind yourself, why did you marry them in the first place? What was it that attracted you? You may call that some self-imposed space repetition to keep your mind in the right place. Recite in your heart the reasons why your spouse favored you. What did you do that you know got you the yes, both the male and the female? We know sometimes we're programmed to think, feel, and believe that it's always the male who's the one that gets to the yes. And while that may be true, we know also the female is part of that process, because they have tremendous skills in the art of persuasion. Rehearse the things you know your spouse likes to hear in your spirit. See, sometimes we may be uncomfortable. There may be things that you don't really feel good about, but you know your spouse may like to hear them. So in your spirit, make yourself uncomfortable for the sake of oneness and the sake of your relationship and your marriage. You know, the thing we have to understand that we need to do most of is conduct the necessary spiritual warfare that is part of the marital experience. You will truly be challenged always, but the enemy seeks to devour, as the word says. He seeks to steal, kill, and destroy. But God has said He will give us life more abundantly. And so we should see abundance in our spouse, and we should be able to see all of the good things consistent with Philippians 4, chapter 8. Think on the good things. Why do we have to trip all the time on that error or that mistake you think, feel, or believe was made? We can oftentimes look at the world and find reasons for compassion in our hearts for a dark, lonely, evil world. Yet sometimes in the confines of our own home, in the confines of our own community, we find it more difficult to forgive and to simply say, I know they are human. I know perhaps they had a bad day, a bad week, a bad month, a bad year, or maybe it's been going rough on them for the last 2 years. Let the love come up through you and ask God to empower you with what you feel in your spirit and know in your heart and can articulate in your mind your spouse is in need of. And when you're able to accomplish those things, they're not easy. But it's the most rewarding relationship you ever have. The most challenging, but the most rewarding. And that's how God is. Sometimes God gives us these challenges. And somebody said one time, well, is that double-minded? No, it's not double-minded. Because remember, we have to be shaped. We have to be formed. We have to become that good and that acceptable, that perfect will of God. And so, Father, we thank you tonight as we go into the cycle of perfection, being perfected with your love. We ask that you bless these people, all of your children who've joined here tonight, that as we leave here tonight, that they come to embrace the concept of space repetition. You said it in your word to meditate on the day and night, that we would have success and prosperity. And as we leave tonight, we thank you for giving us an opportunity to share to your people. We give you all the glory, we give you all the honor, and we pray that the words that we have spoken, they will not go out and return void, but they will accomplish exactly what they were ordained and designed to accomplish. In Jesus' name, amen. We want to remind you that at 9 o'clock, dial back in to the beautiful ministry of our sister minister, Leah Killens, Empowerment Ministries. On Wednesday night, the powerful minister, the Reverend Dr. William J. Van Jr. At 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, Elder Jason Felix. On Thursday, our brother and sister George and Maria Flint. On Saturday, 6 o'clock, Mama Flint. And on Sunday, 6, Minister Amos Joseph Collins. We praise God for your presence tonight. May God continue to bless you richly. Again, call back in at 9 o'clock to hear and experience the beautiful ministry gifts of our sister, Minister Leah Kelly. Until then, God bless you. God keep you. In all things, remember space.
Agape love.